Good afternoon, Tyler.
Good afternoon, Arlene.
So there was recently a Nunatsiavut assembly in Hopedale. Could you tell our audience about that?
Yeah, we had our June sitting through June 5th, 6th, and 7th. We arrived in Hopedale on the 5th, and we left late on the 7th. Of course, we went through all our normal business. We had two bills on the agenda this time around, which went through consideration and passed in the House. We had a few individuals who unfortunately couldn't make the sitting and were reasonably excused. That included the Angikak for Postal, Ms. Diane Geer, the chairperson for Sivunavut, Mr. Derek Montague, chairperson for Nunukhatagit, Mr. Gary Mitchell, our deputy speaker and ordinary member for the Canadian constituency, Ms. Pat Ford, and the minister of the Department of Health and Social Development and ordinary member for Hopedale, the Honorable Gregory Flowers. As I said, you know, we did have two bills that were considered in the assembly. The first one was a bill for Inuit law to amend the Nunatsiavut Laws Registration Act, and second was an act to authorize the Nunatsiavut government to issue a lease to the Nain Inuit community governments to develop and operate a sand quarry on Labrador Inuit lands, parcel LIL-05C, or the Nain Quarry Act. The Nain Quarry Act involved the approval of the petition of the Nain Inuit Community Government for access to a 0.153 hectare lot of Labrador Inuit lands for the purposes of operating a sand quarry, which of course is the extension to the existing quarry, and that was necessary for the completion of the new subdivision there in Nain. In terms of the amendment to the Nunatsiavut Laws Registration Act, it arose out of 10 years practice of registering our government's laws and the registrar realizing that there are some changes needed in terms of definitions throughout the Registration Act, as well as clearly identifying and modifying some of the responsibilities of the registrar. The amendment also included a number of editorial and technical changes to the Act, including changes to ensure consistent use of terms and language, and minor changes to some of the ways in which enactments were cited. Some other key parts of that bill, or the amendment to the bill, included giving the registrar the power to make contracts related to the registry, changing that the registrar is responsible for keeping the registers of bylaws in each community, and adding a new subsection to make it clear that this is a responsibility of the Inuit community governments. Additionally, to relieve the registrar of responsibility for keeping a list of executive council appointments. There were quite a few documents that were tabled while we were in Hopedale. That included the Nunatsiavut government annual report for the year 2015-2016. We also saw tabled the Labrador Inuit Land Claim Settlement Trust indenture for the year ending December 31st, 2016, as well as the Labrador Inuit Land Claims Implementation Trust indenture for year ending December 31st, 2016. We received a report from the Special Committee on the 2016 presidential election, a report from the Disciplinary Committee, the petition from the Nain Inuit Community Government, again, to develop and operate a sand quarry on Labrador Inuit lands. Additionally, consent from the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources to a petition of the Nain Inuit Community Government to grant a quarry lease to the Nain Inuit Community Government. Additionally, there was a report tabled from the Nunatsiavut Secretariat, its annual report for the year 2016-2017. Again, the documents that are tabled in the Assembly are available by contacting the Clerk of the Assembly, Mary Sillett, in Hopedale. As always, we had quite a bit of information shared with us from the ministers and ministers' statements, and I'll start out with some of the information that was passed on to us from the Department of Finance, Human Resources, and Information Technology. Of course, the minister of that department was the Honorable Darrell Shylock. During the sitting, he stressed that the department has been very busy over the last few months with its year-end reports for funding agencies and preparing paperwork for auditors. The minister stated that the audit teams from Deloitte have been on site for the DHSD regional office and the Nain administration building, and the field work has been completed by the auditors and everything's on schedule. The minister thanked the finance staff for going over and above to ensure that audit working papers were ready for the arrival of the auditors. The minister further stated that the Nunatsiavut government received funds over and above what was noted in the Budget Act 2016 due to its success in obtaining various additional funding from sources like Health Canada, Service Canada, the Tsleil-Waututh Trust, Indigenous and Northern Affairs Canada, Canadian Heritage, Newfoundland Labrador Housing Corporation, and a few others. Further, the minister stated that Canada Revenue Agency agency had completed the audits of personal income taxes for the 2013 and 2014 years. Prior to audit, the Nunatsiavut government received $3 million for 2013, and the actual amount after audit was $4.5 million. 2014, the Nunatsiavut government received $4 million, but after audit, the actual amount was $5.4 million. These additional funds, the minister stated, have been internally restricted for budgeting in future years. The minister spoke to the internet upgrades as well, noting that the work is completed entirely in Rigolet, Nain, Hopedale, Natwishish, and Voisey's Bay, and that the work is scheduled for completion soon in Postal and Mokovic, with migrations happening around the end of June for Postal and the end of July for Mokovic. After all communities are migrated to the new equipment, new accounts will be opened as well. As I mentioned, the Minister of the Department of Health and Social Development was excused from this sitting, and presenting the report on his behalf was the Honourable Kate Mitchell, the First Minister of the Nunatsiavut government, and the minister shared some information from the department. She highlighted that on April 18th, the communities of Hopedale and Natwishish walked together as one in the hope of helping people to deal with grief and loss of suicide. There were 14 walkers and 9 helpers. The walk between the two communities took 3 days and 2 nights. On May 2nd, the minister stated that the Honourable Gregory Flowers, along with President Lamp, Deputy Ministers Isabella Payne and Michelle Kinney, met with the Premier and officials of Child, Seniors and Social Development to discuss issues related to child protection, where there were 7 asks presented from the Nunatsiavut government to the provincial government, which included permanent funding for the Family Connections Program, which consisted of 3 Family Connections workers and coordinator, which approximately was $300,000 per year starting in 2018-2019. Another ask was that 2 social work positions need to be created to recruit, assess, train, and support foster families in the Nunatsiavut. Another ask was to resolve the issue of consent by recognizing Section 74(5), bracket 5, which states that the minister may enter into an agreement with the Nunatsiavut government with respect to the access to or disclosure of information under this act. Another ask was to have work to further develop the proposed partnership agreement, which promotes a collaborative approach to the delivery of child protection services. Another ask was that there needs to be a cultural training for all CSSD at the community, regional, and provincial level related to cultural sensitivity, intergenerational trauma, and colonialization, but more importantly, how the dominant culture's worldview impacts interaction with Indigenous people. The minister said that there was also talk of the review of policies, procedures, risk assessment tools, and so on to ensure that the biases of the dominant culture do not prejudice decisions about Indigenous children and families. Further, that there needs to be training for all Government of Newfoundland and Labrador senior officials regarding the land claims agreement and the government-to-government relationship. Additionally, the minister spoke of the Nain Youth Center and that it opened its doors on May 18th to provide drop-in space for the youth in Nain. And there were 4 staff hired, which are youth themselves, to staff the overnight period between 8:30 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. And of course, they provide a mix of activities and programming and a general hangout space with a focus on youth age 16 to 30. The minister also acknowledged the new regional FASD coordinator, Darlene Nukasuk of Hopedale, and the department is pleased to welcome her aboard. The minister also mentioned that those who completed training in March under a child and youth care program from the Nova Scotia Community College will now enter into their on-site module in Truro, Nova Scotia, and that the DHSD is very excited to provide this training for students in our communities. We received some information from the Department of Education and Economic Development from the Honorable Patricia Kowutsigok. The minister stated that following the winter semester for PSSSP, there were 71 full-time students continuing and 24 part-time, which equated to 77 full-time seats, and that selections for the fall 2017 semester will take place during this month. The minister mentioned that Inuit Pathways had reduced staff during the spring, and given that spring is an administratively busy time, the minister thanked her staff for dealing with the workload and additionally acknowledged the work of Rexanne Crawford, Lena Blake, and Barbara Gowdy in maintaining financial services. The minister mentioned that the Sharon Bakey Memorial Scholarship went to Julie Flowers of Rigolet, who is in the Inuit Bachelor of Education program in Goose Bay and received $1,000 as a part of the scholarship. The department also continued supporting the cost of the students on ice expedition, the minister stated, for two Inatsiput beneficiary youth, and Veronica Flowers of Hopedale and Erica Jock of Postville had been selected for the scholarship seats. The minister reported that they will participate in the expedition between August 6th and 23rd. The Envoy Minister also spoke of a Inatsiput math project, which will combine traditional knowledge and mathematics, and this project will be a 2.5-day workshop taking place in Maine, Hopedale Mokovic, later in the summer. Under the department, there was also one-time funding given to Hopedale and Maine for a 6-week job readiness program. Further, the minister also stated that the department is waiting for the Voisey's Bay Underground training to be approved, that all three Aboriginal groups have signed a letter for Employment and Social Development Canada outlining the urgency of the program to start. The Honourable Minister reported that the 2016 through 2018 application to ACOA was approved as of April 18th for a contribution amount of $459,000, that these funds will focus on the creation of growth and sustainable business within the land claims area. The minister stated that the department have begun providing business support and programming and will launch a complete schedule of program and service offerings in July of this year. Further, the minister said that the department completed its Status of Women Canada contract, and out of this emerged a Nunatsiavut-specific business toolkit, which will help potential or current businesses in startup or expansion. The minister stated that this bilingual toolkit will be available in hard copy and online, and thank Paututit for their gracious support in this project as well. The formal launch of the toolkit is scheduled for this summer. The minister mentioned that Stephanie Morris completed a 5-week work term under their work term program development project and has since attained full-time employment with the Rigaud Inuit Community Government, and on behalf of the department offered her congratulations. Further, the department, through the minister, welcomed Mary or Binky Anderson, who joined the division as a business development officer at the end of April. The minister stated that Mary is a driving force in the social media communications program, the business-focused participation for Labrador Expo, and will also be implementing their video promotion pilot project. The minister recognized that Brenda Gerarcy completed her contract, the status of women coordinator, on May 31st, and recognized her greatly valued contributions to the department and her work in creating the business toolkit. Further, the minister mentioned that Christy Shepherd began her training for the 2017 Governor General Leadership Conference, which began on June 1st, and she is one of 250 up-and-coming Canadian leaders who entered into this program, which was focused on the acceleration of innovation, productivity, inclusion, and entrepreneurship. The department also mentioned that they are reviewing the Raytheon contract, focusing on year 3 and discussing a training plan for year 4. The minister highlighted that 13.5% of employees with Raytheon are Inatsiput government beneficiaries, which is higher than any other Inuit region. But the minister stressed that while the employment rate is higher than the other regions, the business procurement with Raytheon is low, but anticipates that this percentage will improve. We have received some updates from the Department of Nunatsiavut Affairs, who is represented by the First Minister, the Honourable Kate Mitchell. The Honourable Minister stated that the Implementation Committee met in Ottawa at the end of May, where funding agreements were established and signed by the ministers, and that the 2017-2018 funding is now being transferred to the Secretariat. The minister stated that during this meeting, there was an updated response given from Canada to the Nunatsiavut government on the request to amend the Labrador Inuit Land Claims Agreement to allow beneficiaries resident in Schedule 12E to harvest migratory birds. Canada confirmed the receipt of the letter from President Lamb to Minister Bennett and to Premier Ball, asking both governments accept the recommendation from the Implementation Committee for the amendments. Further, that both governments appoint and mandate negotiations to appoint and mandate negotiators to negotiate a memorandum of agreement. The Nunatsiavut Executive Council appointed Isabella Payne and Toby Anderson as the NG negotiators, and Canada has drafted a letter to the Innu Nation and Nunatsiavut asking for their written consent to allow continued harvesting by beneficiaries within 12E, and once a response is given, negotiations will commence. The minister also stated that work has continued on a renewed implementation plan for the Labrador Inuit Land Claims Agreement, and a draft will be ready for the implementation plan renewal negotiators soon. The minister stated that the province has confirmed that the Northern Ranger will provide the passenger service to Nunatsiavut this year, and Nunatsiavut Marine Incorporated has been awarded a contract to operate the vessel. The province has extended the contract to Woodward's for the Astron to operate the freight service for 2017. The minister stated that the province does not plan to issue a RFP for a new vessel at this time. Instead, they will develop a five-year infrastructure plan for the Nunatsiavut communities. An engineer and driving team, the minister stated, will begin visiting the communities as soon as the ice is gone, and this team will review the wharves, determine what needs to be done with respect to wharf repair and replacement, dredging of the bottom, and offloading ramps for containers. The minister stated that the team will meet with the Inuit community governments and Nunatsiavut government representatives in each community to discuss community views on what may be required, and that the province will meet with the Nunatsiavut government to discuss the draft plan before it's finalized. After this five-year plan is developed, the province will then know what type of vessel is required and the cost to complete the infrastructure needs. The minister spoke to the prototype sixplex unit in Nain and updated the assembly that Budgell's equipment had the first floor completed last fall, and covered that with a heater for the winter, and that they commenced work on that building June 1st, and expect to have the exterior and interior walls and roof completed by the end of June. The Nunatsiavut government negotiated with CMHC a $92,000 contribution agreement to contract an experienced CMHC-approved contractor to make site visits and to install necessary equipment to monitor the performance of the building during and after construction and occupancy. On the final report, the minister stated from this monitoring program will document annual monthly energy consumption. The report will answer the questions, what are the energy savings? It will also answer the cost-effectiveness of building design and also address the occupants' comfort within the building. And this building is expected to be completed by January 2018. The Honorable Minister spoke to housing repairs and federal housing funding, and that the work on the 2016-2017 housing repair program in Nain and Hopedale was completed by March 31st, except that there were deficiencies to one home in Hopedale that still needed to be completed during the summer of 2017. Repairs to two Newfoundland Labrador housing units in Hopedale and one in Nain were completed by the contractors and are now occupied by NLHC clients. A total of 23 homes in Nain and Hopedale underwent extensive repairs and are now in good condition. The minister spoke of the 2017-2018 home repair program, and that after the application closure date, there were a review of all applications, and 52 homes in Nain, Hopedale, McCovic, Postal, and Rigolet were selected for assessment of the repairs that are required to those homes. The minister stated that the department is in the process of contracting a qualified contractor to do an inspection assessment of the homes to determine the required repairs and prepare a material list for each home that will be repaired, and that the department hopes to award contracts for this repair work in all Inuit communities by late June,